the Fade the Noise podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets. Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by the good sir Nathaniel Lundy. This is the Fade the Noise podcast. And one of the favorite novelty bets that's out there every single year that people probably wager millions of dollars on in totality. What color will the Gatorade bath be at the end of the game, provided there is one? Because it's actually not happened a couple of times over the last decade in Super Bowl action. And, of course, there's odds on it right now, available at a slew of sportsbooks. BetMGM's got odds, and I'm pulling these specifically from DraftKings Sportsbook, Lundy. So here are the options. Clear slash water leading the way at DK at 2-1 odds. Orange at 3-1, yellow slash green at plus 350, blue at 4-1, none, again, that's happened a couple of times, at 5-1, red slash pink at 10-1, and if you want to chuck a Hail Mary, purple derple at 12-1. Now, I did some research on this, and there was an Athletic article about it in which they interviewed a former Gatorade executive, and under anonymity, the exec came out and said, the Gatorade color is selected by Gatorade, so it's not the team that, you know, chooses a flavor, and it's intentionally randomized. There are three colors with different flavors lined up for the players to grab and dump on their coach. So there's three different colors there that they have to choose from, and whatever the players pick, there's the intentional randomization of it all. So your guess is as good as mine, and this is truly a spin of the roulette wheel on the color palette. So I'm giving you $100. Where are you going to slap that Benji down on color-wise in this Gatorade competition, amigo?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you're giving me $100, I'm just leaving and going to the bar. But if I got to – I'll go – I like plus 350, Brad, on yellow slash green. That's
that
my
was
color
my
choice.
Pick. That was my pick.
Oh, see, now that – okay, now we got to stretch it out. Okay, I'll go blue then. If you're going to do that, I'm going blue.
Okay, so looking at the recent history, since 2010, orange has hit 5 times during that span, blue second most at 3, yellow slash green only once, and then in 2017 when the Patriots won, in 2013 when the Ravens took it, none and none. So there were no Gatorade baths in either of those games. So that is an option, of course, there on the table. What's really fascinating, too, is if you go back from 2005 to 2008, we had 4 consecutive Super Bowls where it was clear. So if it was intentionally randomized back then, you know, it just kept coming up with no flavor whatsoever. So it's really fascinating how this shakes out. So it is a complete crapshoot. I mean, it is a stab in the dark, to say the least. So I'm going to go with something with longer odds, and I'm kind of with you there on the yellow-green side of things. Hell, I may even sprinkle a little something on the purple at 12-1. Why the heck not? Maybe this is purple's year, Lundy.
It's 12-1, baby. You got to make yourself some cash.
Yeah, let it ride. That's what we always say here on the Fade the Noise podcast. And with that, it is a Hockey Hump Day edition. Let's get to it with another Fade 5.
Number 5.
All right, if you listened to the podcast yesterday, hopefully you followed Lundy's advice, because everything that I threw out yesterday, whether it was an NBA player prop, whether it was in college basketball, if you adhered to Fade the Noise, kudos to you. You made the mint. You're probably going to be putting a down payment on an exotic car at any moment, because I missed everything, Lundy. Everything. So please, let's drop the puck and make some bucks and give our listeners an actual winner. What do you got tonight?
Well, I would enjoy that, Brad. I would definitely enjoy some winners. Let's go to Seattle. The Kraken will be hosting the Coyotes. Couple of bottom dwellers as we talk about the National Hockey League. But Seattle, they've played well at home. You know how much we enjoy the Kraken and that logo. So we are going to go with Seattle, but they are heavy favorites on the money line. So let's take them on the puck line, Brad. Let's get Seattle to win this thing by multiple goals, because if you take Seattle -1.5, you can get them at a +110. Even though Arizona has played at times better, obviously they broke the Colorado Avalanche home winning streak. The Avs had won 18 in a row until Arizona took care of business in a shootout in overtime. So they gained a little bit of momentum, but I don't know that that's going to last all that long for Arizona because, frankly, they're still a crappy team. So as they go to Seattle, let's take the Kraken. Let's lay the puck line on the -1.5. And that one, by the way, at DraftKings Sportsbook, a +110.
Ooh, get seduced by the juice and release the Kraken.
Number 4.
All right, let's go to the NBA, and I'm going to play the fade game today on Jakob Poeltl of the San Antonio Spurs, and I'm going to take the under on 11.5 points against the Cleveland Cavaliers, -115 at DraftKings Sportsbook. Now, I look at Poeltl. He's actually been over this in 8 of his last 9 games, but the last time he faced Cleveland, back out January 14th, almost pulled off the impossible, Lundy. He was 0-4 from the floor. Did not register a single free throw made, so he posted a donut in the box score in 33 minutes played, but he sank 12 rebounds. That's just a very odd line. You don't really see that every day. This is the 14th worst matchup for a center, according to some of the advanced EVP tools that are out there. And when he got Allen, he got Mobley there in the post. And knowing that Cleveland is number 3 in the NBA in effective field goal percentage defense, despite the recency and the trend going the opposite way, I think Poeltl doesn't reach double figures. So I think it's going to be a single-digit performance for him in the box score in terms of points. So fade or follow, Jakob Poeltl. Will he get those points on the over the under, in your opinion, Lundy? I'm taking the under 11.5 at Cleveland. Again, -115 at DK.
I'm going to follow you on this one, Brad, just because if you look at his totals, he actually averages 2 points fewer on the road than he does at home. And so his road total average is 12.1 points per contest. So, you know, he's got to get just to his average to get over this. You talked about the goose egg that he put up the last time they played the Cavs. I'm with you. I just don't think this is the right matchup for him. It wouldn't surprise me if he finishes right at 9 or 10 points, tucks underneath that 11.5. But again, looking at what his home and road splits are, this is a guy that's a lot more comfortable when they're at the AT&T Center in San Antonio than when they've got to hit the road against anybody, let alone a team in the East. So bad matchup. His stats play into this. We're going to fade Poeltl tonight.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Do the opposite of what you're thinking and take the under on Jakob Poeltl.
Number 3.
All right, let's go to the world of college basketball. And I am wide awake for the Forest, the Demon Deeks. I think they are going to post a ton of crooked numbers in the box score tonight. Give me the over on 77.5 points on the team total, -105. So a light juice at FanDuel Sportsbook. Wake taking on NC State on the road. And here's what we know about the Wolfpack. They are toothless when it comes to playing defense. Number 305 in the world of college basketball in effective field goal percentage. D, they're giving up 42.5% from along the arc in ACC action. They are also dead last in the ACC in points per possession allowed, allowing a staggering 1.14 points per possession. Now, Wake, one of the faster teams in college basketball, number 46 at adjusted tempo, and they can really get after it around the rim. A high near proximity conversion rate, as they have netted 61.1% inside the arc in ACC play. They've been over this in 8 of 13 games in ACC action, and I think they're going to race their way to an 80-plus point performance tonight on the road against State. So fade or follow, Wake Forest over 77.5 team total points, -105 at FanDuel.
Well, we know they keep hitting the over. We know just in general, not necessarily their team total, but the games keep hitting the over. They've been over in 5 out of their last 6 games. NC State has been over in 4 out of their last 5 where they've been a home dog. Just all the trends are pointing towards this being high scoring. So let's correlate, as you like to say, bring it all together. And let's recognize that Wake is going to score. I think you're right. I think this is 82 plus for Wake in this contest. They are going to score and score with ease.
Yep, no doubt about it. Wake and bake! Run, Demon Deeks, run! Stay tuned for my top picks in the world of college basketball, plus bonus time in the NBA, the NHL, and yeah, of course you guessed it, more college hoops.
Number 2.
All right, let's go to a battle and a behemoth one inside the Big East, Lundy. The Seton Hall Pirates, yarr, shiver me timbers, taking on the Xavier Musketeers. And I'm going to side with the home team here, and I'm going to lay the chalk. Give me the Hall, -3.5 against those Muskies. Now, you look at Seton Hall, it's been a bit of a roller coaster ride, but I think this team has found its bearings, its direction. They've won back-to-back games. They're now just one game below 500 after a disappointing start in league play. And it's all about the interior D for the Hall, as they're giving up just 43.7% inside the arc in Big East play. And that is really the scoring MO of the Xavier Musketeers team. 53.3% of their points come from two-point range. Now, I think ultimately they got to get to the line. And if they cash early and often on those freebies, Seton Hall is going to win this thing by 5+, as they are the best free throw shooting team in the conference at 77.8%. Heck, 22.3% of their points come at the charity stripe. So a team that really needs to rack up the quadrant one wins, and this would be one of those opportunities. Xavier is number 21 right now in the net. The Hall, a projected 10-11 seed, according to the bracket matrix and the bracketologists that are polled there. So acquiring a fourth quad one win would be huge for this squad, and I think they will get it done at home and score us the cover. So, Luddy, fade or follow, Seton Hall, -3.5 against Xavier, -110 at FanDuel.
You're making me nervous with this one, dude. Really nervous. 3.5 for Hall. Brad, in the matchup between these two teams, in the last five meetings, the road team is 5-0 against the spread.
It's a new day. It's a new year, baby.
Ooh,
I ain't worried. I ain't scared.
All right, fine. I'll follow you on this one. But damn it, this one makes me nervous when you look at the trends between these two teams. Both of them need some kind of a solid win. But I will say this. I have had a lot of trust issues lately with Xavier after getting burned on a bet about a week and a half ago. So, they make me nervous. Maybe I'm just a little bitter, just slightly, just a little bitter with Xavier. So let's go with the Pirates, and let's hope that Captain Hook does not come into play.
Yar! No, I'm not going to come into play, but back me Pirates.
#1.
All right, let's go to the SEC, and this I think is going to be maybe the best game on the docket tonight. I mean, we had an exciting range of college basketball games, not including my Illini yesterday, who absolutely crapped the bed in the second half inside Mac Arena against the Purdue Boilermakers. Congratulations, Purdue, on a likely Big Ten title, or at least a piece of it, after sweeping my Illini in the regular season. But in the SEC, I like desperate teams this time of year, Lundy. Teams that need resume wins. We talked about Seton Hall maybe being one of those teams. Mississippi State is the definition of desperate, because it's a team that is a very, very much on the bubble, both cheeks firmly planted right now, and they need a quadrant one win. They only have one on the overall resume, 1-5 against quadrant one competition, and they've got a golden opportunity at home in Stark Vegas against the Tennessee Volunteers. And I'm going to take State. The Bulldogs are going to earn those sausages straight up to take this on the money line at +105 at BetMGM. Ben Howland's only been to one NCAA tournament in six seasons with Mississippi State. And I think, this one would certainly bolster his chances of getting a second NCAA tournament appearance in 7 years. In order to do so, they got to punish the paint. 61.5% of the Bulldogs' points come from two. That is #1 in the SEC. So it's all about Garrison Brooks and Molinar as well. They get a lot of second chance conversions, #8 in second chance conversion rate, according to Haslam Metrics. And you look at Tennessee, where they're most vulnerable defensively is on the interior, #10 in the SEC and 2-point percentage D. So Mississippi State's defense has been overly generous this season, but ultimately, 12-1 at home. I think they will defend that court and score a much-needed victory. So, Lundy, fade or follow, Mississippi State on the money line against the Vols, +105 at BetMGM.
Desperate teams. Brad, it's kind of like being desperate in betting, right? Late night, you're trying to find that really late night game that you're confident about.
Wyoming, go!
It's always, yeah, Hawaii, Wyoming, anything involving one of the Mountain West teams, anything like that. The Western Athletic Conference. We're always trying to get desperate picks. Well, I think you're right about Mississippi State being desperate. And look, you already just mentioned it just a second ago. 12-1 at home. Now, they suck on the road. They're 0-5. But they're 12-1 at home. I think they defend it. I like the idea of just taking them straight up on the money line. I think this is a good call and a fun bet tonight. And let's hope that we do not get is it possible to get a lionized? Is that a new thing now?
We got to stop right there. We do not need any new negative verbiage tied to my beloveds.
That was painful to watch, it brother. Was that was really painful to watch last night.
Well, thankfully, I had a lot of tequila to get me through the rest of the evening. Because I was just sitting there despondent at the bar, like, I cannot believe what I'm witnessing right now. But, you know, shit happens, and unfortunately.
Yeah, Brad and I did the divide and conquer thing last night. We were here. I'm on Radio Row right now. You're over closer to the lovely ocean view that you have because you're fancy and getting ready to do your television show. But you and I met up yesterday at Radio Row, and then we went our separate ways. And so, you know, every now and then I don't know what exactly to expect when we sit down to do this pod, either from you or from me, the morning after being in Cali like we are right now.
Yeah, I looked at my face in the mirror this morning and I said, bro, you look haggard. It's like, yeah, it's day three of Super Bowl week, and usually I have like 1 foot in the pine box by the time Friday rolls around. That's why I leave and I never stick around for the game. You know, people are always asking, why don't you ever go to the game? Because I'm nearly deceased come Friday, and if I stay another day or two and party a little bit more, the pulse will no longer register. So it's important for me to get the hell out of Dodge back at Casa de Evans. All right, let's get people some more picks here, Lundy. It's Bernie's time. What else you got on this hump day?
Yeah, just a couple of leans that I'm going to take here. We got an early contest in the NHL with Philly. The Flyers are hosting the Red Wings. I'm going to take the road team. Give me Detroit. They're at a minus 105, so basically no juice there on the money line. I expect the Red Wings to get it done on the road. And then on top of that, let's go with Edmonton. The Oilers are at home against the Blackhawks. Another one where the money line is pretty strong, so you might want to pair that together with one of the other picks that I've got. Maybe Edmonton on the money line plus the Kraken just straight on the money line. If you put those two together, you're going to get yourself a plus 125. So a couple of hockey plays for you here on a hump day.
All right, let's get some more college basketball. Working one more NBA player prop as well. With college hoops, the Rutgers is going to be rocking once again inside the rack, where they have defended home court key wins against Purdue, Michigan, Iowa, Michigan State. Will Ohio State be the next victim? They really defend inside those friendly confines, giving up just 0.913 points per possession at home. Ohio State, number 139 in adjusted offensive efficiency away from Columbus this season. So I think Geo Baker, Ron Harper Jr., who are really lighting up the nets, Harper in particular, shooting 41.2% from outside. They're going to rip cords, and I think Rutgers is going to cover at the +3.5 against the visiting Buckeyes. Elsewhere, another plus odds team that I like, this one also at home, George Mason, taking on Richmond for the second time in like less than 5 days. They lost the prior matchup 62-59 without Josh Aduro, their top scorer and top interior player. We'll see if he is back. He's been in concussion protocol, but I think Mason's going to hang tough regardless. I mean, they were only 5-16 from three in that first matchup against the Spiders, which is unusual because it's the best three-point shooting team in the A-10 at 40.3%. Richmond, number 11 in the league in three-point percentage, giving up 36.5%. So overly generous there. I think Mason covers the +1.5, take on the money line. Absolutely love that as well at plus odds. Do you like parlays? Well, of course you do. Here's a four-legger that pays plus 149. Give me Memphis on the money line against Tulane, Houston on the money line against SMU on the road, DePaul on the money line against woeful Georgetown at home, and the Miami Hurricanes on the money line against Georgia Tech. All four of those hit, again, plus 149. And in the NBA, I love LaMelo Ball taking on his brother's team, although his brother's not going to be in action, the Chicago Bulls, on the over for LaMelo, 14.5 combined rebounds plus assists. It's minus 130 at BetMGM, but he has been over this in 8 of his last 18. He had 20 combined in the prior matchup against the Bulls back in late November, and Chicago's defense has just unraveled. Number 21 in the NBA now in adjusted defensive efficiency. They've been lousy here over the last, like, 10, 15 games. And they have allowed the 10th most assists per game of any team in the league. So Ball could get close to doing this in assists alone. So if he goes out there, drops like 10, 11 dimes, all we got to get are 4 or 5 rebounds and cash a ticket. And there you have it. That is a wrap on this rapid fire pew, pew, pew edition of the Feed the Noise podcast. Please follow Lundy on Twitter at Nate Lundy. Follow me there at Noisy Huevos. Drop us a rating and a review. Would you kindly, if you enjoy this podcast? And until next time, bottoms up, feed or follow. That is up to you.
Feed the Noise.